Yes, hello everyone and welcome to the Dribble Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian newspaper, and throughout this summer I've been bringing you all the news and interviews of everything to do with basketball in WA. And what a week it has been after Bryce Cotton grew his remarkable legacy even further. In this episode, we will celebrate Cotton's magic and then hear from Perth Lynx captain Annalee Maley after she led her team to victory on Sunday to keep their finals hopes alive. But let's start with a man we are all lucky to have playing in Perth.
And the winner is a champion on the floor, a champion off the floor. He's a superstar. One day he might actually kick me off the trophy. Is Bryce Cotton.
Yes, Bryce Cotton won his fourth NBL MVP award. He's been tops three 7 times in 7 completed seasons, which is quite remarkable. He polled 118 votes to easily win from Chris Goulding on 53 and Parker Jackson Cartwright on 50. Andrew Gaze has 7 MVP awards. Nobody else has 4. To put that in context, no AFL player has won 4 Brownlow medals. Jonathan Thurston has won 4 Dally M medals in the NRL. Ricky Ponting, Steve Smith and Michael Clark have 4 Allan Border medals, but there's only a small group of players who can win those. That starting market is way, way smaller. So this is much harder in a bigger league like this. So what does Wildcats coach John Riley think of that effort?
Thoroughly well-deserved. Like anyone that is in that top category, like Chris and Parker, everyone's deserving of the accolades that they get. But with Bryce, I'm lucky enough to be around him every day. And when we talk about every day, it's not October, November, December. It's June, July, August. What people don't see him doing to prepare for the success that he has as an individual kind of gets lost in it all. Like in June, July, he's in the gym 5 days a week, making sure he's ready to capitalize on those moments. And when we as a team were going through the struggles with our record, that's where you can just lean on those things that you're doing in June and July, and that's what I preach to our team, you know. And then you put in the work, good things happen. And as you saw with Bryce, like for that 2 month stretch, he was playing at an unbelievable level, you know, probably one of the best in NBL history.
Yes, that's high praise from Riley, but what about an opposition coach? Dean Vickerman regularly throws multiple players at Bryce Cotton after resting them on the bench to make sure they're ready for the task. The Melbourne United coach and NBL coach of the year had this to say about Bryce.
You know, he's amazing. You keep feeling like, can you wear him out? But you can't. And, you know, he just keeps getting back up and, you know, plays his 35 minutes and you might have one moment where he's running down the floor and you're like, oh, I think he might be gassed a little bit, and then, boom. Sprint, pull up 3 in your face, and he's an extremely tough cover. But you know, when he's as unselfish as he is as well, where you know you do pay him all that attention, and now he's happy to go ahead and distribute the basketball to others. And I think, you know, the greatest imports that have ever come to our league have their moments where they have the ability to dominate, but they pick their moments to get others involved, and I think he does a hell of a job of that.
And here's the crazy thing about Bryce. He cops attention all year, and when he was quiet early in the season, we all wondered what was going on, but his class shone out.
It was definitely a learning curve for me. I'd never really had a slump like that in my career, so I just had to rely on the work that I put in, you know, hoping that eventually it was going to turn around. But I think a big thing for me was, you know, JR and my teammates, you know, they kept supporting me and letting me know they backed me. So that went a long way with me. And luckily, just as I was turning it around, more importantly, we did it as a team as well. So it was, I guess the perfect storm brewing.
The great thing about Bryce Cotton off the court is that he is an NBL historian. Once he was determined to make Perth his home, he studied the league to guarantee he knew who everyone was, who all the past players were, and what they've achieved. So while he's humble and actually quite shy, he did enjoy spending time with them at the awards ceremony, but it's fair to say he wasn't overly keen to pump up his own tires.
I'd like to stay in the moment because I understand basketball is not a game that any of us get to play forever. So while I got the chance, just try to make it as memorable as I can, but I'll look back on it when I'm done playing.
And now we all get to see Bryce in action at RAC Arena during the playoffs. If you're a Wildcats fan, you actually haven't seen that since 2020. It's remarkable to think that the last time Bryce Cotton played in a final at RAC Arena was in March 2020. Yes, that's before COVID. That was a semi-final. Of course, the grand final was played behind locked gates due to COVID just starting back then. It seems like such a long time ago. But then Bryce suffered a season-ending leg injury in 2021 and he missed that entire final series, so nobody got to see him in action at the business end of the year. Of course, Perth's famous final streak came to an end the next season, and then last year the Wildcats were involved in the play-in tournament, but both of their games were played interstate. So we finally get to see Bryce Cotton in Perth on the big stage that he has made his own. We don't know who Perth will play. It will be the winner of Tasmania v Illawarra, though. We don't know when they will play, but it will be in March. But the main thing we do know is it will be at RAC Arena, and Cotton is looking forward to it.
It'll be a great feeling going into it with not any expectations. You know, don't want to make something like this bigger than what it is. But super excited to, just to finally be back in this environment again.
Which brings us to the question of how the Wildcats will perform. They've been a bizarre team to follow this year because they rise and fall in chunks. They dominated the preseason, but then went 2-5. Then they tore the competition to shreds with a 13-2 run before ending the season with a 2-4 finish. So we all know they play well in chunks, and we all know they play poorly in chunks. But what we do know right now is that when something is on the line, they seem to play their best. They responded to that poor start by locking in second spot, and as soon as they couldn't move from second spot, they fell away. They had nothing really to chase. So they're an emotional group, and really is confident having something to be emotional about will really help them.
I think if you look at this group, when our backs have been against the wall or something really meaningful to play for, that they've risen to the occasion. I just hope the loose units are getting their required rest right now so we can get practicing later this week.
So the NBL Finals tip off on Wednesday, February 28. It'll be the Tassie Jack Jumpers versus Illawarra Hawks at 2:30 p.m. Western Standard Time. Then later that day on Wednesday, February 28, it will be Sydney Kings versus New Zealand Breakers. That's a 4:30 p.m. Western Standard Time start. The winner of Tassie v Illawarra will play Perth at RAC Arena on a yet-to-be-announced date. The loser of Sydney versus New Zealand will be eliminated. The winner will play the loser of Tassie v Illawarra on Monday, March 4 at 4:30 p.m. Western Standard Time. The winner of that match will play Melbourne, and we don't know that date either. So while it can be a bit confusing with the play-in tournament and how things all work, you just got to keep winning. That's the most important thing. Keep winning, and you advance. There is a big delay due to the FIBA break, but it will be on for young and old once everybody returns. Perth Lynx kept their finals hopes alive on Sunday with an emphatic 94-79 win over Canberra and will head into this weekend knowing it is win or go home in the final round of the season. And one of the keys to the win over the Capitals and one of the keys to their chances this weekend is my guest today, Annalee Maley. Welcome back to the Dribble Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
17 points, 20 rebounds and 8 assists in your return from an injury. It's a fair game.
Yeah, look, not bad. I had a couple of teammates missed some wide open threes. I could have had a triple double.
I was thinking that towards the end of the game, like you could have had a record for rebounds at the club, which you already own, which is 21. So you had 20, and you could have had a triple double for the first time in your career. You would have gone home thinking, "Ooh, so close."
No, honestly, I didn't realize till after the game when someone said it to me. So honestly, stats are great, but they don't really matter all that much, right? Like, got to get the win or loss regardless. If I had great stats or bad stats, a win's a win, a loss is a loss.
So you've been carrying an ankle injury for over a month, and it was really evident from the start of the game that your mobility was back and your power was back. You hadn't really been able to push off or even turn at different points in the past month. So how did you feel knowing that you're able to do that again?
Look, I'd be lying if I said I'm not still dealing with some pain and still dealing with that injury. It's just better than it has been. So I did have that ankle injury since Townsville is when I heard it. So it definitely feels a lot better than it has, but we're not 100% in the clear yet.
So how annoying was it for you to be playing knowing like you couldn't launch at the ball? What you do so well is just throw yourself into a rebound and give yourself that power through the air to win the ball. You weren't able to do that for so long. When you weren't able to do that, just what were you thinking and how frustrating was it?
Look, you have to be adaptable and find different ways to do things. And I think that I was doing my best to kind of contribute in other areas lots of people play with injuries all the time and play through injuries all the time. And I was okay to play through pain. It was in that Melbourne game when I got my local anaesthetic injection before the game and lost all feeling in my foot. That's what kind of forced me into actually sitting out for a game, because I couldn't feel my foot. So anyone can play through pain.
No one can play through not being able to feel something. That must have been scary, I would have thought, because when you're suddenly doing something which you normally do in sport, which is getting an injection, it happens to a lot of people. But when it goes wrong, you must have been thinking, oh, what's happened here?
Oh, yeah. I had no idea what was going on. It was just a local anaesthetic injection and, like, immediately no feeling in my foot. Couldn't move my toes. Like, it is a risk that you take. Like, it's a risk that you take anytime you get any sort of injection that's close to a nerve. And it's just, you know, it does happen sometimes. Obviously, it's a risk I was willing to take. But when it happened, it was a bit like, what is happening? But, yeah, so it took maybe a week for the feeling in the half my foot to come back, and then like it's taken 3 weeks for the feeling in my toes to come back, and I'm still dealing with some numbness on the left side of my foot, but the doctors have assured me that that will be coming back sooner rather than later.
It's nice to get assurances, but you'd like to be feeling something, wouldn't you? Like, it'd still be nerve-wracking, wouldn't it?
Oh, for sure. I think that, look, we have great doctors and great physios who've been talking me through it. And as scary as it is, like, it's nothing that they haven't seen before. So that does make me feel a lot better. Now that I have feeling in my toes back, I feel a lot more stable. I wouldn't have played if I didn't have feeling in my toes, because that allows me to actually land without rolling my ankle. But the lack of feeling in the side of my foot, I'm able to tape up and play through. Because I do have the stability in my toes now. So, again, it is something that I'm expecting to come back sooner rather than later.
What about day-to-day life? Going for a walk with your dog down at the beach, driving a car, like how has that impacted you not having that feeling?
Well, I haven't been able to do anything without being taped. So I go to sleep with tape on my foot, because if I wake up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom or to get a drink of water, like I'd just roll my ankle. Like there was no stability there for a solid like 2.5 weeks. Like I couldn't just walk around the house, or if I was walking down to the beach, like I had to have tape on and I had to kind of really watch where I was placing my foot. So I found myself just like with lack of stability and rolling my ankle, just doing basic tasks, but it has gotten a lot better.
And you hear stories all the time of people when they do wake up in the middle of the night having had surgery or having rolled their ankle in a game and being on crutches, and they forget when they wake up that they're not normal at that point and will fall over when they get out of bed trying to go to the toilet or go. Have you had that moment where you've gone, I've just woken up?
Yeah. Hence why I started going to sleep with tape on my foot. So when I first lost all feeling, like I had woken up that night, and I literally just fell over as soon as I woke up. I kind of explain it to people like when your foot goes dead, when you've been sitting in a weird position and you go to move and you just miss a step.
Yes, not ideal, is it, at all? And it wasn't ideal when you had Airy McDonald out injured as well. The two of you are now back. How good was it to see her, just her composure and her skill and her speed back doing what she does?
Oh, she's incredible. She's amazing. And look, like as great as she is a basketball player, she's an even better human. So just to have her back on the court with us, like her energy, the type of person that she is, like she's a fighter, and that's just who she is. And it's great for our group to have that type of energy on the court with us again. And she's been so involved while she hasn't been able to be on the court, and it was killing her to not be out there with us, but she has found a way to stay involved and stay connected this whole season, and that's just kudos to her.
It's been so hard for the team, I would have thought, once she went down, that you had to change roles, you had to change game plans, everyone was working on different things, and the win-loss went away, and suddenly your dreams of chasing a championship from second spot disappear, and you're falling down outside the four and having to work your way back in. How challenging has it been for everyone from a morale and mental standpoint to not have the wins that you were having earlier on in the year and have these challenges?
I mean, like, our team chemistry is really good, and we did the work on our values and we did the work on our team culture at the start of the season. So win or loss, we always treated each other the same. We always supported each other the same. I think I'm really proud of this group in the way that we haven't, like, started pointing fingers or falling apart. Like, we've stayed together through all of it. And I think that it's really important to note, like, whether we were winning games at the start of the season or, like, losing a few games in a row in this latter part, like, we'd never changed the way we treated each other or stayed together. And that's something that, whether we make finals or don't, it's something that I'm actually really proud of with this group.
So you and I spoke after, I think it was the Melbourne loss, where you got pummeled, and you were like, did you notice no one argued on the court? Like, you were really proud of that during that game, and your leadership, I think, has stood out with the way you've talked about those values there, that you've led the positivity of this. Was that something that you recognised really early, that as a leader, as a captain, you want to be the person who's saying, no, we'll be good, we'll just work through this?
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, to be honest, there is no win or loss or basketball game that is as important as my team's mental health. There is no amount of shots that go in that is as important as 1 through 15 feeling mentally well and happy. So I don't believe in putting a win over people's happiness. Like, I just don't. And I think that that's something that I've tried to bring in from the start of the season. And it's not always toxic positivity, but it is just taking care of each other. That's really what it is. So no matter how bad you lose or how good you win, like, we got to stay the same towards each other. And there is no basketball game that is as important as 1 through 15 being happy and being okay.
This group looks tight, as all season. Like, you regularly see teams start really tight, and then as the season progresses, it falls away a little bit. But I haven't seen anything other than everyone loving each other's company and being fully supportive of each other all year. It's pretty rare, because normally around this time of year, I see teams falling apart.
Yeah, look, like I said, we did the work in the start of the season, and I think it's the biggest thing about all of us is, like, we do spend time with each other off the court, but it's not that. It's that we actually respect each other. Like, there's a level of respect 1 through 15. You don't get treated differently because you're a DP or a training player than you do because you're a starter. Like, there's a baseline level of respect there for all of the players on this team. And I think that we've shown that. But we also just believe it. Like, it's something that we made clear in our value session at the start. Like, this is how we want to treat each other. This is what we want this to be, because there's nothing more toxic or less enjoyable than being in a team that towards the end of the season, they fall apart. Like, we lose games, okay. Are we still, like, nice to each other at practice? Are we still encouraging? And being nice doesn't mean we don't push each other, but it just means that we respect each other. Like, the baseline of respect is really prevalent in this group.
So it's win or go home this week, because it's the last game of the season. It was win or go home last week as well, and you handled that pressure really well. How do you approach this game specifically, knowing that, you know, from a ladder perspective, you know the scenario, and it's an elimination final?
For sure. We can only control what we can control. And I think that we've decided, like, if we go into that game and we follow our game plan, we give it absolutely everything we have, and we lose, then that's okay. Because we've controlled what we can control. We've done exactly what we were supposed to do. And in a game of basketball, there's a winner and there's a loser. There's going to be one team that wins and one team that loses. And if that's us, that's us. And we can accept it if we put everything into that game and do everything the way that we want it to be. So for us, it's just controlling the controllables. That's what we're focusing on. We're focusing solely on us and our game plan. And at the end of the day, it's just another game of basketball that we need to execute and play hard. And like I said, like, if we win playing our game plan or if we lose playing our game plan, as long as we did it, you know, the Perth Lynx way, then we can hang our hats on that.
And assuming you win, you got the MVP awards the next day, which is on at the exact same time as the Townsville-Sydney game, because that game had to be moved due to a cyclone up in Townsville earlier on in the year. So how are you going to prepare to be getting ready or even being at that event while monitoring that? Are you going to watch it? Are you going to monitor it? Or are you going to ignore the fact that game's on and just find out later on?
I don't really want to focus on that yet because we haven't won or lost a game yet. So who knows? Maybe. Depends. Like, what we're focusing on right now is our game on Saturday. Anything after that doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah. And from a big picture scenario, my brain hurts looking at the final scenarios if everyone ties, because it's easy when it's one team tying with another team, but when there's multiple ties, it can be challenging. We saw that with the NBL many years ago when I think it was 4 teams tied on the same number of wins. And they changed to the AFL version of percentage for the end of the season pretty much after that. Do you like the splits rule? Would you prefer percentage? What do you think works best for the comp?
I'm impartial. If it comes down to a split, like, how fun is that for the league? So I it just is what it is. Like, I'm impartial. Like, I don't really mind how it is. Like, we should have done more so we weren't in this situation, but this is where we are. So it is what it is.
You've signed to stay in Perth in the off-season in NBL 1. You're going to play for the Redbacks. So you must be really enjoying living in WA then.
Oh, I adore it here. This is, I've kind of created a home and a family here. So, I really love it. I'm really excited to play for the Redbacks and continue working at Waste and using the facilities out here. And I'm so excited. Like, what a great place to live. I don't know why anyone would ever leave here.
You've enjoyed the beaches, haven't you? Like, you've quickly become a Perth person with your ability to get down to the beach nearly every day.
Literally, yeah. Like, I go to the beach every single day, sometimes twice a day. Like, today I have planned my day around, you know, I've got a shooting session with a coach this morning, and then I have planned my day around when I can go to the beach and when I can take the dogs on an adventure. And I just really love the lifestyle here. Like, not only does it not take 2 hours to get everywhere like Melbourne, but the living, like the pace of living is just like so much more chill. And look, at the end of the day, the people here that I am blessed enough to surround myself with, like my teammates, like I really love the coaching staff here. I'm really creating like a little community for myself, and I just love it. I really do.
Well, I'm sure everyone just heard your car door close, and we're doing this podcast a day later because Annalie's life yesterday was out of control. So we're recording on Wednesday and uploading on Wednesday today rather than our usual Tuesday because we couldn't get her yesterday as well. So look, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Good luck this week. Hopefully things will go your way and you'll be into the finals.
Up the links. Here we go.
So that's it for this week's episode of the Dribble Podcast. You can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian and at thewest.com.au. Thanks to Annalie Maley. Congratulations to Bryce Cotton. Thanks to Josh Cable for his production work. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Dribble Podcast.